This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from a top CEO. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Mike Gregoire. How are you, Mike?
Very good, Robert. How are you?
Good. And Mike is the CEO of CA Technologies. So before we talk, and we're going to talk a lot about your leadership philosophies, which I thought were really fascinating, a lot of CEOs will resonate with them. Let's talk about this concept that CA Technologies has called application economy. What really is that?
Well, one of the things that we looked at is every business that we participate with, and we have over 11,000 customers, and we primarily serve the Fortune 500, and every single one of these customers was going through a digital disruption where their end product was becoming more of a software application. I remember one of the comments I had, I was with Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan, and we were talking at the business roundtable. He said, you know, Mike, we're a technology company too. We just happen to have a banking license. When you take a look at every single company, what they're trying to do is get their brand and their application in front of their customers in a way that is much, much faster. And the only way to do that is through software.
So you call it an economy. It's an application economy. How does the word economy tie in?
Well, the whole notion of how you transact is becoming digitized. And the end device of that is primarily a smartphone or mobile phone. And so when you have a, you know, think of the last time you talked to a bank teller. You probably haven't done it in years. You go and hit your mobile phone, check your banking account, check your stock investments. If you are a CEO, you're not asking your head of supply chain anymore what's production like today. You're taking a look at your smartphone. You're taking a look at an application on your tablet or your PC. When you are a retail customer, you're looking at same-store sales. You used to look at it by the week, then the day. Now you're looking at any store by the minute. Most of our retail stores, they are using application, you know, this whole notion of the application economy to automate their supply chain, automate their web presence. Almost half of their total sales are coming through a digital medium.
How is software really enabling this disruption?
Well, the whole notion of software is this is how you interact with the company, and that's where the economic driver comes from, is the idea that it's going to be a human-to-human interaction to do commerce. I mean, that seems to be moving much further away. It's not that it's irrelevant. It's just further away from the actual buying experience. In our business, for example, 60% of the people who buy software from us, they already know what they want to buy before one of our sales professionals shows up. They've been online. If they can't try, buy, and understand how that software is going to work in their environment, you've already lost the sale, and you've never seen the RFP. You've never seen the RFP.
Absolutely. The entire customer experience, the buying experience has changed completely. Let's talk about where things are going to go, the future. So now we're in an exciting world where new competitors can steal your market share seemingly overnight, but there are also great opportunities. In about 3 years, and I've known you as a visionary in what you've done, where would you say new changes are going to emerge in digital disruption, be it in cognitive and AI?
Well, I think you used the right word, the whole concept of cognitive and AI, a very broad topic, but just to give you one idea. Right now, we communicate with machines, with our eyes, and with our hands. You're going to see that being done with your voice. Voice recognition systems have become extraordinarily powerful. And the whole notion that you are going to type something, I think that's, you know, people are going to look upon that as that's the abacus. People are going to be very frustrated when they can't tell a device, whether it be a computer, a tablet, or a smart, some type of smart device, to do what it is they want to do. The next evolution of that is you won't even ask for it. It'll be done for you. And this is where it gets a little bit dangerous into the world of science fiction, of when do these machines really step outside a rules-based algorithm and start getting to true cognitive learning. And we are just starting to brush up against that in real time as the computer science evolves and gets to a point where we are making cognitive decisions based on experience rather than following a finite set of rules.
And that's going to happen in B2B as well as B2C.
It's going to happen across the board. And what we found is that the separation between B2C and B2B, it's coming closer and closer together. When we were in B2B, we wrote the worst user interfaces possible because it was, you were dealing with educated users that were specialists. And when they started using consumer applications, they said, why do I put up with this? I would rather have something that is less powerful but easier to use. And that's really changed the whole customer experience for anybody in the software space.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who've reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Mike Gregoire, who is the CEO of CA Technologies, about a $4.3 billion Fortune 500 company. So talk about what the company is, what the brand is. You're in a highly competitive arena. How do you differentiate yourself?
Well, sure. First of all, we're in four very specific markets, and you know, our goal is to be number one in each one of those markets. So we're the second biggest provider of mainframe software, which is still incredibly important. I mean, at the end of the day, every time you are grabbing your mobile phone and you're checking your phone bill, you're checking your bank account, you are probably hitting a mainframe solution. If you take a look at the volume of transactions and the ability for a device or for a compute system to drive transactions, the mainframe is still a very, very important part of our technical infrastructure around the world, and it's a big part of our economic well-being, ensuring that those transactions get processed and they're secure. We are big into this concept called DevOps. It sounds a little geeky, but this is a big change that we're seeing in our industry. You used to have developers developing, you used to have operators operating, and never the two should meet. As the rush to get software into the market quicker has forced, you know, development to merge with operations, and the whole notion of being able to go from ideation to production has shrunk. And there's this whole economy around DevOps, which is, how do I go build the software, get it into production as quickly as possible? The next business we're in, which I think is on the mind of every CEO, is security. We are the number one provider in identity and access management. So the whole idea of making sure you are you and making sure that a machine is a machine that it thinks it is, most of the hacks that you see happening in the news have been compromised credentials, and where they've used those compromised credentials to compromise a machine, which uses its credentials to compromise all the other machines. We are right in the heart of that business. And then, of course, the last part of the business we're in is this concept called agile management, which is a completely new way of thinking through business, where you really truly are building software in real time, getting customer requirements. The customer participates in the software development, and it matches through a whole workflow engine, so that when you're building the software, you have a high probability of it being successful when you release it into the market.
And you've had great success, because out of about $4.3 billion revenue, you've about $1 billion in operating profit. As CEO, how do you make that happen?
Well, every CEO has a lot of decisions to make, and one of the key decisions for every CEO is growth versus profitability. They work against each other. You can grow faster quicker, but it's going to cost you more, and that eats into profits. And if you're highly profitable and you're not focusing on innovation and growth, eventually that profit's going to wane as competitors come into your market and either commoditize your product set or your service, or customers find that they're not getting the value that they once did and they don't want to pay as much. So we take a look at our strategic planning processes, which is a 3-year rolling plan. We start it in about August. It ends in about November. And we really think through what are the markets we want to get in and what is the rolling portfolio. So at any given time, we take a look at all of our products and they're in 3 particular buckets. Are they pure play innovation, which means low revenue, low profits, but high growth? And you want to have about 30% of your R&D budget in that segment. The next one is your meat and potatoes. This is scaling. So products that were in incubation and you're moving them into scale, you're going to start seeing R&D constrict, but you're going to see marketing go up. And then the last part is the products that have made you successful. These are products that you are running all day, every day. They're great products, but they're probably only getting 1 or 2 releases a year instead of 4 or 5 releases. You don't have to market those products because everybody knows what they are, and that's where the real profit comes from. When you got a portfolio as big as ours, you're able to have each product in the right bucket.
This is Robert Greece on the CEO Show.
A good stove is at the top of the list for any serious survivalist. That's why you have to see the full range at Emberlit.com. Simple, elegant, but extraordinarily efficient. Available in titanium or stainless steel, the Emberlit line of stoves are ultralight, pack flat, and work great. Fueled only by sticks and debris, from emergency situations to long-term survival, Emberlit stoves are up to the task. Emberlit, the most convenient, easy-to-carry wood stoves on the planet. See them all at Emberlit.com.
Are you sneezing, coughing, and aching? Do you have a sore throat, a fever, or the sniffles? There's no reason to be sick this cold and flu season with immune system support from Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver can give your body the help it needs to fight off harmful pathogens without hurting beneficial gut flora and without leaving behind resistant bacteria. Antibiotics can damage good microflora and often leave behind bacteria which can cause problems later on. If you're sick of being sick, try Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver, the number one choice of thousands for a safe and effective way to protect against the many diseases and illnesses that we are facing today. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com, read our customer reviews, and see the life-changing results that people are having. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off your entire order. And like us on Facebook. Supernatural Silver.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're speaking with Mike Gregoire, who is the CEO of CA Technologies. Now, I have in front of me this sheet that you put together, Mike Gregoire's Leadership Principles, Every Moment Matters, and there's about 10 of these. But this is really fascinating. Talk about how this emerged, but then more significantly, talk about the content here and how CEOs can use it.
Sure. Well, it started out with the whole notion of how do I, as a leader, help people understand how I'm thinking? And this way they can give me critical feedback and also participate in the decision-making process. And what I started to do is be very explicit about it. What are the things that are important to me, and how am I going to lead, and how am I going to hold that, hold myself accountable to it, and hold my team accountable to it? So when you talk about the trade-offs that you make, if you are overly direct, for example, people will think you're difficult to work with. But if you are not specific, people will think that you are disingenuous. And so you want to be able to err on the right. You know, which side of that line do you want to err on? Are you going to be very direct? Sometimes you need to be. And other times you probably want to be a little bit more nuanced. But if you take either of those two elements of a leadership principle, and you over pivot on one, I think you're going to miss the point. Most executives are very busy. That's why I call it Every Moment Matters. And when I'm with our product development people, you know, the guiding principle, I said, only build products that matter. How do you know it matters? How do you know what you're doing matters? And you have to really think about that. If you're leading thousands of people, you can't have them work on things that don't matter. And that means time matters. Be very specific about how you use that time. Furthermore, I think that we are, especially in tech, we've exhausted the command and control management style, the stuff that we all learned in business school. And if you're not command and control, what are you? And the only word I could come up with is principle-oriented leadership, which means you have to have a set of employees that know the right thing to do ethically, and they know the right thing to do content-wise. And to the extent that you can give them guiding principles on how to think through those two things and what is the criteria of success, that means that they're making audibles in the field. And if they're making those calls and they're right, and they're not waiting for somebody in a corner office in Madison Avenue to make that decision, you're going to be faster. And if you want to win in today's economy, it's about speed.
So how do you take these principles and help them drive the culture?
Well, there's multiple ways of doing it. First of all, we have our own leadership development program.
And by the way, those listening in, we are in New York City headquarters. Even though we're on like the 22nd floor, you could still hear it.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
That's New York for you.
Technology, always in action.
To get these leadership principles out to other people, it's somewhat important for them to understand how I think, but it's more important important for these leaders to develop their own. And I can tell you that they're all going to be, you know, plus or minus, you know, less than a standard deviation around anything that I would say. For example, I don't think anyone's going to come up with a leadership principle that says I should be unethical. But what do they use, and what is the language that they use to hold themselves to an ethical standard, and what does that mean? For me, what I wanted to make sure that they understand that there is no compromise. I mean, you can't be on the edge, especially as you become a CEO, with the concept of any kind of ethical mistreatment. It's kind of like a golf swing. If you're off by just a little bit, you know, by the time it, you know, that golf ball gets out 200 yards, you're absolutely in the woods. Think about, you know, as a leader, you know, a whisper from the top is a scream from the bottom.
And that's a great line.
But if people see you fudging an ethical standard just by a little bit, trust me, that'll permeate in ways that you never dreamed of. So you have to hold yourself to a very high ethical standard.
And how about the customer experience? How does this translate into the customer experience and vendors? Because you're trying to get everyone to have sort of the CA technology way of thinking, which starts with the Mike Gregoire way of thinking.
Well, I think a couple things. I talked about the buckets that you have to have your products and services in, you know, the three buckets. By the time you get into the bucket of a product set that's been around for several years, it's commoditized. So why would they buy your product or service over anybody else's? There's really only two reasons. Reason number one is they like what you're developing in R&D. They think that they have a future. But the second reason is they trust you. And if you break that trust in any way, shape, or form, I think it has a disastrous effect on your true job as a CEO, which is a long-term viability of the company. So I think that these are things that are very close to me, because at the end of the day, I know what my job is. My job is the long-term viability of this company. And to do that, I have to have trust. I have to have trust with the employees. I have to have trust with our customers. I have to have trust with our partners. Not some of the days, all of the days.
What was the biggest challenge you faced, or biggest leadership lesson that you ever learned that drove you in the right direction career-wise?
Well, there's so many of them. The biggest one, I would say, is kind of what drove me to write that list, is you have to let people understand how you're thinking. And if you try to be too closed and you try to figure it out all on your own, you might be right a lot of the times. You will not be right all of the times. And as you move further up the organization, it's about scale. You have to get multiple people to understand how you're thinking about a current set of issues or problems or values. And to the extent that you can get multiple people thinking that way, I think that you have a higher probability of making good decisions. Because at the end of the day, when you're sitting as a CEO, as many of your listeners will understand, the buck does stop with you. Eventually, you are the ultimate decision maker. You sit between a board of directors, your employees, your customers, your partners, and you're making decisions. And as you're making those decisions, especially the tough ones, the probability of you making everybody happy is zero. So you want to make sure that you have made your decision based on data, facts, and a core set of principles. You want to be right.
Let's talk one other fun area of leadership, cycling. You're a cyclist. What have you learned from cycling that has helped you as a CEO?
Well, I've learned a lot of things from cycling. First of all...
And you've about 1 minute till the end of the interview.
Okay. Well, at the end of the day, the bike doesn't care what your title is.
Oh, good.
So when you get on that bike and you're racing, nobody cares whether you're the CEO or not. Nobody cares if you've got a lot of people that report to you and you have a lot of people that will allegedly do what you tell them to do. It's you against the clock, and the clock doesn't lie. You either got there before the other guy or not.
And just talk about what is the future for CA Technologies.
Well, I'm pretty bullish, obviously, about the future for CA. When I think about this biggest, you know, the biggest opportunity in the 21st century is the whole idea of the application economy, and we are right smack in the middle of it, providing world-class products, helping customers achieve their dreams of being relevant in in the application economy. So I'm very pumped up and bullish about our future.
Well, great having you on the CEO show, Mike.
Great. Thank you, Robert.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-900-0684.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs with no hassle. Never have to clean your machine by hand again. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer, only available by calling 1-800-900-0684. That's 1-800-900-0684.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Join me me George Norrie at Joshua Tree, California, June 3rd through the 6th for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, a weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, and new evidence of ongoing contact. Featuring Graham Hancock, Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and Eric Von Doniken, and so many more. For information, go to contactinthedesert.com, contactinthedesert.com, or 760-365-8371.
Hi, this is Robert Reese and Albert Reese on the Customer Experience Show. And today we have Chris Boyle, who heads up single family sales for Freddie Mac. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you for having me.
And Freddie Mac, everyone's heard of it, but not everyone knows what it is. But in 1970, it was founded to bring liquidity to market. And right now, last year, did $385 billion in mortgages. Just describe what Freddie Mac really does.
So a lot of lenders around the country, whether they're banks or mortgage companies, savings and loans, independent mortgage bankers, make mortgages to individuals, to consumers. They then take those mortgages and sell them to us. We package them into what we call mortgage-backed securities, and those securities are then issued on Wall Street, and investors all around the world can invest in our consumer debt, our mortgage finance.
And Chris, you've been with Freddie Mac since 1990. It's a long time.
I have.
Describe what your role really is in single family.
So in the single family business, I manage our customer relationships. So my title is actually the head of sales and relationship management. I like to think about it as the care of our customers. So we have well over 1,400 of these lenders around the country who make mortgages available to consumers and look to us to provide that liquidity to the market to buy those mortgages, to package them up and return dollars or capital back to those mortgage companies so they can lend again and again and again. That's our housing finance system. So again, I care for our customers. I make sure that I understand their business. I consult to their business in a way. What do consumers need in terms of mortgage financing to get into a home? Have we got the right products and programs? Are we providing the right level of service to them to make sure that for those eligible borrowers who want to own a home, that they have the ability to do that through one of these viable entities.
Yeah, fantastic. You are the first business-to-business customer experience lead we've talked to on the show, so thank you for joining us. Who is your customer? You've talked about the end customer, but the consumer, me having a mortgage, I'm not your customer. So who are your customers?
So they are the large banks that you see that when you drive by. They're national banks. They're savings and loans who are in particular entities, or they've got members. If they're credit unions, they have members. There are independent mortgage companies. There are also independent mortgage brokers. So community banks, large financial institutions, and all that goes with that.
So I work with a banker as an individual. They're not the most fun guys all the time, right? What is it like interacting with bankers, you know, when you're trying to work business with them? How do you strike customer experience, and how does it become relevant?
So banking is, I think, a very serious business for all of us. It's about our money. It's about how not only do we hand over our money to these bankers to help us to invest in our current state, which is put our kids to school, have a home, save to go on vacation every year. They help us with all those kinds of activities, so it's serious business, and we rely on them to give us sound financial advice, to be an advisor to our life, if you will, a life advisor. And so it is serious. However, and so the banking industry, I think, is very financially driven. What are interest rates? What kinds of returns can you get? How much of a mortgage payment do you make each month? And as bankers think about those things, and they try to serve those markets, you can think about it from a financial lens, from a consumer lens, or from a customer lens. Banking is changing. Banking is changing in terms of how that is done. When I was young, you used to go into your neighborhood bank and make your deposit. And just today, I was talking with someone about we used to have a passbook savings account where when you wanted to know how much money you had, you went and got out that beautifully little leather-bound book, and you opened it up, and it said how much money you had, and hopefully you smiled at it. It was a good number, and then you put it away and stuck it back under your mattress again. And today, how we deliver these kinds of financial services has changed so dramatically. You know, with the advent of technology and computers, and pretty much you can enter the financial services world through a lot of different dimensions. You no longer just have to go into a bank or a banker. You can go to, as I said, a savings and loan. You can go to a community bank who just serves a particular locality, or maybe a rural area, or maybe a central city kind of an environment. Lots of different ways to experience and lots of different ways to connect with your banker. And each of us generationally does it a little bit differently. I certainly know back in the Depression era, folks used to keep their money at home in their mattress, hence the phrase mattress money. And these days, a lot of the young people, my children in particular, sometimes have never met a banker face-to-face unless they've FaceTimed with them or had that kind of an experience. So experience for customers is changing in the banking world, as it is changing for me and how I serve those banks and lenders in those communities as they serve their customers.
Yeah. The industry took a pretty big hit back in 2008, 2010 time frame. A lot of things changed. I'm assuming that changed what you need to do to be able to serve the big banks as well. But has it evolved since then? I can imagine things got very, you know, a lot of things were driven by metrics and numbers and financial analysis and those types of things. But has it evolved even since then now to become a little different in the way you would interact with your customers?
Yeah, certainly. We have gotten much more prescriptive in our policies. As I mentioned before, technology has been a huge influencer in financial services since the crisis has happened. And technology has enabled us, particularly with Freddie Mac, we have what we call our Loan Advisor Suite now, which is a set of online tools where our lenders, our customer, can come, understand our policies, interact with us, have access to things in a very automated way. There are rules, there are certain things that they can check as they're serving their customers. So certainly technology has been a big part of that. And as we've looked at bringing technology and being more prescriptive in our policies and procedures, so there's greater clarity and greater certainty for the market, not only for banks and savings and loans, etc., but for consumers as they come to the market, we've not only looked at the business processes, but we've looked at the journey of our customers. So we've got a lot of policies, and as I said, financial services is a very serious business. Not only do we make mortgages, or we buy the mortgages that lenders make to consumers, we have investors on the other side who are international, who invest in America's homeowners, and we need to be sure that they understand the type of investment that they're buying through these mortgages, and that those folks that are producing the loans for us to insure are making them appropriately. So not only do we look at the processes and the H2H piece of this, we look at that journey. So policies and procedures have set things that we can do, and we can be very prescriptive about that. At Freddie Mac, we have tried to create a customer excellence culture. And so what that means is we're now looking at things through the lens of our customers as we consult with them. And so in normal business frameworks, you have what we would call a process, a business process. The way you take that to humanize that is you look at it as a journey map. So whenever I interact, let's just say, with a bank, and there are certain things that they need to do to manufacture a loan, to understand the credit quality of a loan, to understand that the collateral value or the price of the house is acceptable, there's a number of different processes that they go through. I now look at those processes and understand from their lens where I touch them in their business processes and how that interacts with them serving consumers or America's homeowners. So that journey map and understanding the consumer experience and the customer experience are what are really important in connecting with our customers and being able to grow our business, provide our customers with great certainty and great clarity.
You said something a moment ago. I heard H to H.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So, again, in the banking space, the example that I would use is when you go to a bank, there are some banks you go to their website and they ask you very technical questions. Do you want to borrow something? Is it at such and such interest rate? Might you want to save some money? Do you want a CD or do you want all the different kinds of vehicles or instruments that there might be available to you? The way I think about that, that is financial services, and that's in a very sort of structured way of delivering that message. The H2H component of that, and what a lot of banks are going to, and quite frankly that I have adopted here at Freddie Mac in dealing with my bankers, is the H2H experience is really asking questions in a very different way, and again, looking at it from the customer lens. In the case of a banker, when you go on their website, rather than saying, would you like a checking account, they may say, are you planning on having a baby anytime soon, and might you want to know the kinds of things you should plan for from a financial perspective in having a child, raising a child, and bringing a child to maturity? Those are the kinds of things that when someone says, yes, I need help with that journey, and it's about me and my experience, that's how you turn around a financial service product and make it a human kind of an element, and allows them to connect to it and understand it in a very different way.
So human to human.
Human to human, yes.
We are speaking with Chris Boyle from Freddie Mac, and when we come back after the commercial break, your customer service stats went in 3 years from 43% to 78%. Everyone listening in, you'll find out how. Back in a few.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is, the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. And this could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Hi, this is Robert Reese and Albert Reese on the Customer Experience Show, where we speak with the leaders who have reinvented the fabric of customer experience in America. We're privileged to be here today with Chris Boyle, who is the head of single family sales and relationship management, as well as SVP at Freddie Mac. And we're hearing the human side of Freddie Mac. We're hearing about the H2H model, which I think all of you hundreds of thousands of people listening in think about H2H and growing your business. But let's now talk about your customer satisfaction. You grew it from 43% to 78%. That's pretty significant. Talk about the challenges you had facing it and how you accomplished that.
So thank you. We're very, very proud of those numbers. When you get those types of results in customer satisfaction, first and foremost, everyone at Freddie Mac, not one group, not one individual, not a small team, each and every team member at Freddie Mac contributed to that number. Each of us, as I mentioned before, in our journey map, touches our customer in some way. Every one of those touches to our customers matter. The care that we take and how we engage with them, how we speak to them, how we solve their problems is what's important in making stats go from a 43% customer sat level to 78%. So it is making sure that we are caring for that. We, as you mentioned earlier, we did $385 billion worth of home loans last year. That touched 1.5 million families. And in touching those 1.5 million families, one of our over 1,500 lenders made a loan to those families. And in doing that, That experience, that policy, how we delivered what it is that they needed to do to make that loan and sell it to Freddie Mac, we care for that each and every day. So when we roll out a new policy and procedure, when we review what we currently do today, we step back and say, not only is the policy and procedure sound, but how does it affect our customer and how does it affect them being able to serve their customer?
You know, interestingly, when we talk to organizations who focus on the end consumer, it's pretty clear why customer experience is important to them. It's probably less obvious as to why customer experience is important to an organization like Freddie Mac. So share with us the value Freddie Mac as well as the banks get out of this relationship.
3 years ago, we went on a journey through our new leadership team here at Freddie Mac to understand very clearly that we wanted to compete like a commercial company. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae all make mortgage loans, and we all have a part of this market. As financial services change, as the future evolves, there'll be a lot more competitors, and we wanted to make sure that we were well-positioned to compete. And we think the competitive edge is in the customer experience and having beliefs about customers and serving them differently. And it is a very difficult thing, particularly in a hard quant company and a quant business, which what financial services is. It's a lot of numbers, it's a lot of math, it's a lot of statistics, it's a lot of modeling. It's very difficult to get those types of thinkers to really understand and to embrace the journey of a customer and what will that mean to the outcome of the business. How do you grow your business? It's easier to say, if I do this to price, my share should grow that much, etc. But if you don't change any of those things, you merely make the experience better. Will a customer give you business because of that? Can you grow your business because of how they feel valued, how you're solving their business problems, and how you consider them in the whole journey of how you do business together? I'm pleased to say that over this three-year process, we are looking at ourselves as a very commercial company, and the result of that over the last 3 years has been we've moved our market share, tangibly moved our market share from 38% to 41%. So as you begin the journey, it is something of a sale, which is maybe this sits in the sales and relationship management group, to get people to understand it's the softer side of things. It's much more difficult to quantify. I can tell you when you do everything right, you don't hear about it. When you do something wrong, you always hear about it. Is that not the truth?
Absolutely.
And it's measuring when you do something wrong. If I've given you an experience that 9 out of 10 times it's great, but that one time that it's not, what do you remember? How did I make you feel? I always like to say Maya Angelou has this quote that says, it's not what I said, it's how I made you feel. And that really is customer experience. I cannot solve a problem for you. I can say no. But if I say it to you in a way that is understandable, it is direct, it is actionable, it is respectful, and it is in a business context, it's how I say it to you and how I interact with you. That's part of the experience. And treating customers in that way. And at Freddie Mac, our customer beliefs are we put the customer first. We pioneer solutions that are from their lens, not from our lens. We can solve our problems all day long. Thinking about their problems, being a consultant to their business, what's important. We speak customer. So one of the things that customer experience officers in this newly developing field have a hard time really kind of getting their hands around is, do people actually, every time they take an action, do they say, what will that mean to our customers? That's what they must do to be a customer experience company and provide customer excellence. We also own it. If a customer has an issue, somebody at Freddie Mac, one of our team members own it. And we balance the risk and reward. There are certain things that you can do that may help or hurt the customer experience. You have to look at the totality of it, not just from your business lens, because each one of us in business has business partners. We don't go this alone. And at Freddie Mac, that's how we feel about our customers, and that's how we solve them.
So with the market share you have, I think it's safe to assume that your customers compete for customers against one another. So without naming any names of some of your customers, have you seen any your ability to influence any of the banks that you work with? Are some of them adopting some of the principles that you're taking on, and are they seeing improvements in their market share as a result?
I think many of them are, and I think in a highly commoditized business, if you think about it again, we'll go back to a basic checking account. You can get a checking account anywhere, and so my customers all understand that, right? And they understand that if you've got something that is readily accessible in a lot of different places, how are you going to differentiate yourself? What is it about your business that will make a difference, that will cause that customer of yours to come back to you rather than seeking that service or that product from just anyone?
What is the future of Freddie Mac?
We are going great places. We enjoy every day serving our customers. And at the end of the day, what's important to us is a better housing finance system and making a better Freddie Mac. And we are on that journey.
Any one piece of advice for on customer experience in the B2B world?
So my advice would be, it is every day in every way. And that's our slogan around here. It's every team member, every time you pick up a phone, every time you interact with a customer. If your folks remember, if there's some beacon that they can look at and say, I must make this the best experience on every engagement, that's what makes the difference. Every team member, every engagement, every day in every way.
Chris, great having you on the Customer Experience Show.
Thank you so much.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.